The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on March 1st, 1993 in Sri Mayapur.
Prabhupada came and he stayed in the Grand Hut with us. And then he talked out the plans for this building. Originally the plan was to have four of these buildings exactly the same and one temple in front. There was a design, four buildings and two in a more or less in a rectangular formation. It was just like whatever land we had, okay, build the four buildings and one big temple. That'll be the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. It'll be a very big temple. But then Prabhupada said that nice, okay, get more land. And then gradually the master plan started to change. But that was the original plan. And when this building was under construction and Prabhupada stayed in the grass hut, he said you should preserve this grass hut for posterity, or posterity rather, that in the future people can know this was where it all began. In the beginning, the Sri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir was only this grass hut. And Radha Madhav, they were also staying there in the grass hut. And then Prabhupada, he said, this grass hut, this is sattvic, this is in the mode of goodness. For practicing Krishna consciousness, this is all one needs, to live in a simple grass hut like this, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, by the side of the Ganges and the Jalangi. And he said, that building we're constructing with the stones and the bricks and the concrete, that's in the mode of passion. But if we don't build these buildings, who will come to Mayapur? If we just stay in the grass hut, no one will come. We want people to come from all over the world to have a place where they can stay, where people can come and practice Krishna consciousness. So therefore we have to construct so many buildings. So for preaching purpose, it's all right to engage the mode of passion. But if it was for our own salvation, for our own liberation, for our own personal deliverance to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, then a grass hut is enough. We don't need more. So Srila Prabhupada kept up this mood that all the development should be in the mood of for preaching. One time in the temple he said that these buildings are all meant for preaching, and if we use them for preaching, then as a result, you'll get love of Godhead and you go back to Godhead. But if somebody thinks that the buildings are just for comfortable living and they just want a comfortable life, and they don't try to use the facilities for preaching, then they'll get comfortable life, but they won't get the love of Godhead and they won't go back to the spiritual world. So he wanted to imbibe that we should keep up and maintain the mood of preaching throughout the Mayapur project. One day when Srila Prabhupada arrived in the room was ready downstairs in this building where he was staying. After the reception was over and the Guru Puja, everything was over, he came up and he sat in his seat and leaned back in the cushion and he asked for a drink of Mayapur water. He took his golden goblet and it was filled with Mayapur water, and he would drink water without touching. So he raised the cup high and took a little sip. Ah, Mayapur, he said. Living or dying in Mayapur are both the same. And he took another sip. He was looking, how is it possible? Living and dying in Mayapur are the same. It was like a riddle. And he was smiling. He said, yes, you're living in Mayapur, you're living in a spiritual world. And then you die in Mayapur, you go back to the spiritual. So living or dying is the same. It's all spiritual worlds. When the building was not fully finished, in fact, Prabhupada's rooms were finished, but his toilets, the plumbing was not connected. So that time there was a little tin can that was put behind the toilet, and then when Prabhupada would use it and flush, the water would flow out and go into this 1 gallon, 5 liter paint can, the remnants. And there used to be a race in the morning by the devotees who would go and get there first and carry out the remnants of Prabhupada and take that and throw it away. And Prabhupada used to walk on the veranda. He used to walk up here on the roof. Sometimes it was raining out, so he couldn't go out for a walk. He'd walk around on the verandas. He would say how nice these verandas are. He said, if they're big festivals, then the devotees, they can come and sleep on the verandas here. He said, yeah, we can have 1,000 people stay. Even their rooms are filled, they can sleep on the veranda. We have designed nice big verandas, nice and warm. Then sometimes Prabhupada, as I said, he'd walk up here. That's why he had us put the... There was this over the expansion joint. There's like a small... Between the door there, you'll see there's a little raised area. So then he had us made this platform. So he didn't even have to walk up the stairway. We had him made a ramp. So he could easily walk around just going up the ramp without going up the stairs and down the stairs. Just going to continue walking. Sometimes when it was very hot, he would stay up here on the roof in this room and use this as his, like, retreat and sleep outside here under the stars and say, this is very nice. In the month of May, April, one time he came, or month of October, or maybe September, it was quite warm, so he stayed outside. One day, I don't remember which time of the year it was now, maybe it was in the fall, because he used to come at mainly at Gaur Purnima time, and then again, he'd usually come in the fall, like November. But one year he came early in September. The month of September, there's so many insects. Just after the rainy season, everything starts to dry up and the sun is beating. And as the water from the rainy monsoon season is evaporating, then sometimes there's a little season when many flying insects start to come out. And some servant kept the light on. And then Prabhupada was standing there and he's looking at the light. And there was millions, just so many insects flying and going, and Prabhupada was standing there watching, and you know, we kind of were there watching, what is Srila Prabhupada watching the insects for? And Prabhupada was going, you know, kind of moving his head and looking, and you know, and Prabhupada saw, I said, oh, you know, and then you can understand, like we were wondering, you know, what is Prabhupada looking at, the insects? He said, just see. Even these big, with their scientists have their big jumbo jets and the big airports. But still, even though there's so few airplanes, they're always having collision, off and on and crashing. But here there's millions of insects and they're not colliding. How they're going, they're just missing each other all the time. No radar, anything. Srila Prabhupada ki! And sometimes when Prabhupada would walk with the devotees in Mayapur, especially during Mayapur festival, he would take a mood of, all right, you take the opposing party, you take the role of being, you know, a challenger or anti-party, and then I'll defend. So then some devotee would start to, you say, like, would start to take a role, like, well, Prabhupada, they say, why this or why that, and then Prabhupada would reply. So this would be going on while we're walking over the pathways. Sometimes we go to where the Gurukul is now, to the Goshala. Sometimes we went back in this land. Sometimes we went to the Ganges. Srila Prabhupada, he would have me sometime lead the way. He said, oh, you know where all these highways are through the fields. Actually, there's no highway. There's a small, 1 foot little raised path. He would kind of balance and he would use his cane and somehow go through the fields. So he'd make sometimes these endearing statements. And he was walking over the land and he was giving guidance also sometimes. I remember one time he was telling different GPCs, actually you should build the Mayapur temple. I'm simply depending on you. They told, I mean, I'm depending on all the GPCs, they should build. Then he called one over, actually I'm really depending on you. And he said, well, I'm just trying to enthuse them that they should take it up very seriously to build a big temple. One day when Srila Prabhupada, he was walking to the Ganges. When we got to the Ganges, he looked around and there was, that time it was in the winter because the Ganges was very low. The water was very clear. Usually the Ganges now has a lot of current, so you see always this little brownish color. But that time, it was somehow, I remember, it was quite clear. The current had reduced quite a bit. Yeah, now they put more flow into this Ganges, but in the beginning, there was less flow of water because of some arrangement. They have some barrage, some kind of dam-like thing in Farakka, and they regulate how much water comes. Maybe this was before that was completed. I don't know the exact completion date, but there was less water at that time. So the Ganges was much narrower in the winter, and it was going slow and clear. And then Prabhupada, he looked around and he said, why don't we take a dip? Servants of Prabhupada, I didn't bring a gumcha or anything. He looked and he said, well, we're only sannyasis here in Brahmachari. You can wear my top piece. So he put on his top piece and with his gumcha and top piece, and he went into the Ganges, and all the sannyasis, and the mainly were sannyasis, a couple of brahmacharis, they went into the, a couple of other devotees, old men, they all went into the Ganges with Srila Prabhupada. The Prabhupada, I remember, when he bathed, he did something I never saw anybody do before. He covered all the holes on his head like this. And he went in three times. And one of the devotees started just splashing water on Prabhupada's back and into the properties. And he went out. He said, I would come to the Ganges every day and bathe. This would be very good for my health. When I was in Calcutta, I used to bathe every day to the Ganges, or in Allahabad, I used to regularly go. So if I could bathe in the Ganges, this is very good. If you can get me a road so I can come directly to the Ganges. And at that time, Ganges was very far away. It was like almost a kilometer away from the road. And to get there, one had to go to very... It was very difficult, actually. Sometimes after the rainy season, there was a whole like river of mud you have to cross. Some of the older devotees may remember. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to get able to come right up to the Ganges. So we tried to get a road, tried to get land. That time nobody would sell. And now the Ganges is so close, and now we have many roads up to the Ganges. But now we cannot take Prabhupada physically with us. So I've been proposing that we should take him from the samadhi by his deity form, a small submurti, to the Ganges for bathing, as he desired. Anyway, sometimes Srila Prabhupada, one time he was here for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day, and he was giving a lecture in the temple. At that time, I remember near the end of the lecture, he started to explain how the secret of success in Krishna consciousness was to please the previous acharyas. And he explained how Bhaktivinoda Thakur had begged door to door and built the first building at the Jog Pit of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how Srila Gaurakishore Bhaktisiddhanta Sara Thakur, how he had built the birthplace temple, he had worked for developing Mayapur Dham. He gave some details how each had done something for the Dham, and then he said that I'm also trying to do something to develop Mayapur Dham. And then he said that actually I'm very grateful for all of you for helping me to serve the previous acharyas. And then Prabhupada, he just became completely choked up, and he became like stunned. He couldn't speak anymore. Tears were coming from his eyes. And for a long time he was sitting there crying, and wasn't saying anything. We're just sitting there. And then like Prabhupada moved his hand or something, but we got the idea, we started chanting. So how dear it was for Srila Prabhupada, for serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Dham, for pleasing the previous acharyas, is beyond expression. He was so grateful for all the devotees in every way that they were helping to build this Mayapur project for developing the holy Dham. So, and sometimes Prabhupada, he wanted us to become very expert in all the... At one point there was also the Vyas Puja or something of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There were many guests coming to the Chaitanya Math because they had invited some lieutenant general from Pondicherry, lieutenant governor of Pondicherry, one of the territories of India. And they saw so many cars and people were going there. And then at that time we didn't have so many people coming here. And Srila Prabhupada would call us and ask why people are not coming here. Why you're not bringing people? You're not don't know how to be proper host. You don't know how to properly take care of your guests. You have to know how to serve the guests properly. So this is other. They're very expert. They know how to bring someone in and they feed him very well. And they give a lot of, even some big Maharaj will sit there and then he will say, oh, give more water. Give this. And he'll make like a lot of interest in seeing that the person is served properly. The person will feel, oh, this big Maharaj is taking so much interest in me. And he'll feel very thrilled by that. He'll feel very impressed. And afterwards, then they'll bring him and sit him down, nice sitting room and everything. And then they'll ask him, you know, to do some seva. And naturally, he'll be so won over by their hospitality and by their dealings that he'll give according very nicely some donation or some help that they need. So that actually they're very expert in this. They know how to treat people and how to win them over to make them lifelong friends. So you have to learn this technique, this art, how to win your friends. So he was very anxious that Mayapur should be successful, many people should come. And then when we had a big festival, many people were coming, he was very happy. Remember one time then after he told us that it just so happened one very big government officer, maybe one of the top 10 officers in West Bengal, he came to visit Mayapur. Then Prabhupada personally said, watch, now I'm going to show you. And he put my chair out on the veranda. So while the big officer was sitting there with his family, Prabhupada had his chair there and he was telling humorous stories with him, and the person was laughing. He told us, you see, when you're eating, you shouldn't talk heavy subjects. People should, you know, laugh a little bit, they can digest easier. And he had brought us, had us bring some misty dahi. Have there ever anybody who had misty dahi here in Mayapur?
Yeah.
So he gave the officer misty dahi and he said, oh, this is the best thing I've ever had. And then whenever we went to see him in Calcutta in his office, he'd ask, have you brought me some misty dahi from Mayapur? So we'd bring him a big clay pot of misty dahi. And then Srila Prabhupada asked him if he'd help. We need to develop Mayapur. We need certain help in developing this. So he would preach and he had us. Then he'd tell us how he wanted a master plan made. Had to think very big. Don't limit ourselves in any regard. In the development of Mayapur Dham, to think very, very big. So, I remember one time that one of the first, so many master plans have been made, even in Srila Prabhupada's time, as I mentioned, there was one master plan, another master plan, many different master plans, different ideas. One plan came and the idea was the one ring would be for brahmanas, and especially that was meant that for Gurukul, university, everything. Then again, another layer, something else. They tried to do like Brahmana Kshatriya administration, and I don't know how practical it was. Doesn't seem so practical now. But just in the conceptual stage, the Prabhupada was saying yes. At that time there was like 5,000 students planned for Mayapur. Prabhupada was saying yes, very nice. Then one time when we had about 50 students in the Gurukul, at that time most of them were like orphans or poor children. Then Prabhupada said that we could increase that and that 50% of the food could be paid by ISKCON Food Relief, and 50% we had to raise it some other way by sponsors or something. And then Srila Prabhupada said we should have 500 children in the Gurukul right away. So immediately, he liked the children so much, he said, you get 500. Unfortunately, we still haven't reached up to 500, and now we're not taking so many of the orphan children, or the poor children. Some parents, they have many children in India, and they make be devoted, and they say yes, if I can, it's better than I can hardly feed them nicely. If one of my or two of my sons, they can go and become a brahmachari in the temple, they'll get a nice education and training. So they give their children. I think you have this problem also in the West. Many people want their children to join the temple. Here, if we allow people to give children to the temple, we'll have a big waiting list. Many parents, they like their children to become devotees, especially when they're younger, like at 5 or 6 in a Brahminical families or something in the poor. Usually when the children are already old, like 18 or 20, then they're thinking, well, they should make some money and give me. When they're young, more people give. So Srila Prabhupada, he liked that. I remember one time we were walking over by the Jalangi River with Srila Prabhupada, and one man was walking with a big basket of vegetables on his head. And Prabhupada stopped, and he asked, "Where are you taking these vegetables?" And Bengali, and the man said, "I'm going to Navadvip to sell these." So then Prabhupada said, "How much do you sell this whole basket for?" And then the man gave a price. Prabhupada said, "No, 8 rupees. I need 8 rupees for the whole basket. You have to carry this so far the whole day you sit there selling? You sell me now 8 rupees. So then he said, "All right, 9 rupees. Like then Prabhupada was bartering with him right there on the little road that goes on the dike by the Jalangi side. And so then Prabhupada told, "Okay, you take to the temple and they'll pay you over there." He gave, you know, said, "You give a chip and you get the money over there." And then Prabhupada said, "Yeah, my father used to always buy like this. Well, you buy by quantity, you get a cheaper price. And this is fresh from the garden." And he really liked fresh vegetables. When he came, he said, "Can I have some portal?" Those little torpedo-shaped vegetables. Said, "This famous for soft portal, Nadia district." Am I feeling cold? You may be cold, I'm not. Talking about Prabhupada, I'm feeling pretty warm. So he liked the lot of vegetables. He said, "Bengal and Orissa is famous for vegetables. You can have so many vegetables here. We offer nice offerings to Lord Chaitanya, Radha Madhava. So he would like to have a lot of fresh vegetables." He told us how his father used to buy food for his family. He would purchase the grains once for the whole year. And in those days, he would just pay a couple of rupees and it would be enough for the feed the family for the whole year. So actually, like, I think it's the Mormons, they keep 1 year of stock of food in their house. It seems that Srila Prabhupada's father, he also followed that. He would buy 1 year stock of food and keep it in a like a basement or some storage area for the whole year. So that used to be the system for the grihasthas. They would have food for the whole year and they wouldn't have to worry about anything. If there was some crisis, they have food. So Srila Prabhupada also, he asked us to establish a foundation stone for the big temple in 1977 after Gaur Purnima festival. I remember we went out and according to some Vedic system, we put a stake in the ground and we got the shadow intersecting a circle for that rod, and then we could get the true east and west line. And accordingly, at that time we took it from the main gate. We thought that the main gate there should be some straight line. Now we have different idea because of the samadhi. But then we established the Prabhupada told us that in my order, I'm establishing the foundation, so you. And we found the location, and then Prabhupada established the foundation of the temple there. It's a big foundation stone. I think the temple is, then the foundation stone was placed by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So actually Prabhupada has already put the foundation of the big temple. He's just waiting for us to finish it. In other words, Prabhupada in one of these wasn't a question of chance or anything. Prabhupada has established the foundation of the big temple. We are finishing it. But of course we need His blessings, our blessings, and all the Vaishnava, we all had to work together cooperatively so that we can do it. It's not a one-man job to build such a massive monument for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's what Srila Prabhupada knew. He wanted that. He said many times that actually I've got so many big leaders, but they have the extra energy. So they need something where they, some place where they can use their creative energy and do something wonderful for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they can use their creativity here in Mayapur and build something wonderful for the Lord. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada was enthusing his leaders to participate in the development of the Sri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. He explained, okay, Mayapur is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the birthplace land. And the actual birthplace, the yoga pit, that is where Lord Chaitanya appeared. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained, "Janma karma chame divyam evang yo vedi taktvataha jaktang punam janma naiti mameti sojuna." There he said, "Janma karma chame divyam." My janma is divyam, or my birth is transcendental, and my karma, or my activities and pastimes are transcendental. So Srila Prabhupada said that maybe that's the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, janmastan. But this is the karmastan, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is where the activities of the Lord are manifesting. So Lord Krishna was born in Mathura, but the same night he went to Vrindavan. And there he did his activities. So more important than Mathura was Vrindavan. So the Karmasthan is more important than the Janmasthan. So then Prabhupada explained also how Bhaktivinoda Thakur one time said how the whole universe, this planet is special because here all the avatars have appeared. And on this planet, how amongst the whole planet, the land of India is the most beautiful because here also is blessed by so many acharyas and great devotees and avatars. And how within India, the most beautiful place is Bengal. It's very luscious with the Ganges flowing through it. And with and here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gaur Mandal Bhumi had his pastimes. It's very, you can see Bengal is very beautiful when you come by train. As soon as you enter Bengal, it's very lush and green. And then he said in the whole of Bengal, especially Nadia district, is the most auspicious. And there's the place where Lord Chaitanya did his pastimes. And then within Nadia, especially Mayapur, is the most sacred place where the Lord appeared. And then he said, well, within Mayapur, Sri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir is the most auspicious place, most because here is the place of Lord Chaitanya's preaching and activities. So practically speaking, right now, you're sitting in the most wonderful place in the whole world. Sri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir ki
jai!
Sri Prabhupada ki
jai!
Of course, we had to develop this. Prabhupada wanted us to develop. One time I visited Prabhupada when he was in Calcutta, and he just looked at me and told me that, well, I've given you the spiritual world, now you develop it. Actually, Srila Prabhupada gave all of us the spiritual world, given us Mayapur down to the whole GBC, to the whole ISKCON, to the devotees, and he wants all of us to develop Mayapur down. Devotees here were always eagerly waiting for Prabhupada to return. He would travel all over the world, and then when he would come here, he would tell us about his preaching, and so I was in Australia, this thing happened. Sometimes he'd write us letters, oh, now I'm in such and such place, and this thing has happened. And why you haven't written me for 2 weeks? You're just sending me pictures of stones and bricks. I want to see the buildings. I don't want to see pictures of materials. When are you going to show me the finished building? And he would put us under heavy pressure. One time the construction was going slow on the next building, and all the laborers went on strike. But what is this? Then he sent all the sannyasis and leaders out, said, you do the work. And I remember I was running the cement mixer, and they were taking the cement and lifting it on the head of this Maharaj and that Maharaj, and they're carrying the cement on their head and pouring the, finishing the concrete slab. And the workers are surprised at how all these sannyasis are doing that. Then they go, okay, we'll go back to work. And Prabhupada was standing on the veranda watching us from his room. Also, here was the place where Prabhupada officially started the Food for Life on a very massive scale. After we had the opening of the temple, and there was a very big feast, and so many leaf play, hundreds and maybe thousands of people were fed, and we piled up in the back. Now, maybe where the Nrisimha temple is, or somewhere in that area, maybe not so far, just this side of the Nrisimha temple. All the leaf plates had been thrown. Time there was nothing else, only this building. And Srila Prabhupada heard some dogs, you know, making screaming and noise. And then he went out and looked, and he saw that there, in a pile of leaf plates, there were some young village boys, some poor people. They were there with sticks, and they were beating off the dogs with the sticks. And with one hand, the dog, they're trying to get to the food. And then the other hand, they're going in there and fishing through the leaf plates, trying to pick out some fruit that was thrown away by the guests. And then Prabhupada saw that. He just couldn't. It was just such a, to see like human beings having to fight off dogs to get people's thrown away garbage remnants. And Prabhupada started to cry. He said, just see how hungry they must be. That they're so hungry that they're going to fight with the dogs to get the thrown away food. Then he said that actually if we want to establish proper temple, then within the 10 kilometer, nobody should go hungry. And then he gave us the order, you start distributing regularly. Of course, already we were distributing. But then, like Prabhupada confirmed that we had to really expand the prasad distribution so that no one is hungry within 10 kilometers. And then we really increased the prasad distribution so that thousands of people. Then he had the prasadam hall built where we all used to take prasadam up till, I think now you've shifted over here. How's the new prasadam hall? So now prasad distribution will still go on there. Sula Bhojanaloy, the discounted prasad for the pilgrims, as well as free feeding. Then Prabhupada, he said when he had us build that for free feeding, he wanted thousands of people to be fed at one time. So like this, there's so many different pastimes. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to Mayapur, he was very merciful to all the devotees. At the same time, he was insisting, he was personally coming and insisting on very high quality of care and maintenance. One time he came up and he saw that in this building there were brahmacharis living on the next floor and they were making a mess of the building. And he said the brahmacharis had to move out. He said, "You're ruining my building."
Yeah.
Because they had hung up some laundry line in the wind, the line was rubbing against the wall and made a line into the wall and probably to see what they're doing. And then he walked and he saw someone left the fan on the lawn in the room and the door was locked. He said, "Who is this rascal? How they're wasting Krishna's energy." And then sometimes here the electricity goes off, so then someone would try to the water and then there would be no water, then they'd go off but they wouldn't close the faucet. And then the electricity would come back and the water would be coming, and Prabhupada would hear that. He'd be so angry. Why are they wasting Krishna's energy? So you put signs in all the bathrooms, you know, close the faucet when you finish. One time he walked and there was an outside faucet and it was just dripping, drip, drip, drip. He said, "Look at Krishna's energy is being wasted. Who is responsible for this?" So actually, Prabhupada was very much ecologically conscious. Didn't want to see one drop of water wasted. When he would put on tilak, he'd say, "Just put a few drops and no drop would fall." Someone else said the water was dropping. He said, "Don't waste Krishna's energy. Don't waste his water." He'd be so careful. Not even a drop of water would he let fall while he's putting on his tilak. Remember, he'd walk, when they were going out to the field, there was a small little area of land between the construction and between the path, the field, and nothing was there, it was just grown over with grass. He said, "Why you're not using this? You have to use every square inch of land. Don't leave anything lie unused." So he gave a very high standard. We have yet to fully come up to that perfectional platform, but he gave us a very high standard that we should aim for, to try to utilize everything in Krishna's service. He said, "You don't waste. This, all these things are bought by Sankirtan money. This is my blood. So don't spill my blood." Srila Prabhupada was, he said, "Easier to make money, but it's very hard to spend it carefully. Don't waste." So at that time he was teaching us to be very tight. He was supplying the money, getting from the BBT and then giving here for constructing many of the buildings. He was very concerned that we should make a budget, follow the budget very carefully. And then he had give us a time schedule and we had to follow the time schedule very strictly. Then if we didn't follow it, then he would get heavy with us. "Why you're not following? Why it's delayed? Why you're going over the budget?" And he was very happy one time that the devotee said, "Prabhupada, it cost so much money to come to Mayapur. If we use that money for building, doing something else in the West, we can do so much." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, you're also spending so much money on eating. If you use that money for something else, then you could do so much." And he said, "All right, Srila Prabhupada." He was establishing that for Mayapur and Vrindavan pilgrimage, this was not just a luxury. Just like we had to eat for our body, we also had to get this type of association. It's food for our soul. Prabhupada explained that when we preach to the materialist and live in these materialistic countries, we gradually get the attitude of enjoyment. We get certain materialistic vibrations rub off from us, contaminations from these places. When we come to Mayapur Dham, we do Navadvip Parikram, we associate together with the devotees in the temple, in the holy Dham, and chant, hear the classes, and participate in the different activities. This purifies us from these subtle contaminations and gives us the force and the purity to be able to preach Krishna consciousness and practice Krishna consciousness. Even when we go back into our different preaching fields. So Srila Prabhupada didn't consider it a luxury, but considered it essential that we get together and have this association. So thank you very much for coming here and satisfying this desire of Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the previous acharyas. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai!
Jai Guru Premanand.
Hare Guru.
Any question? Hare Krishna.
Did Srila Prabhupada get to see the completion of the Mayapur?
Pardon?
Did Srila Prabhupada get to see the completion of Mayapur?
Did he get to see the completion?
Yeah. At what stage did he get to see before he left his body of Mayapur?
Mayapur, he saw this building, a long building. He saw the boundary wall, the building next to the Prasadam Hall, and the Prasadam Hall, that's what was there in the Gurukul, Goshala area. Not so much the Gurukul, was not so much.